I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. And remember, tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Wednesday, because I'm gone Thursday, Friday. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything, as you well know. As you well know, doesn't have to be political, whatever you want. Jesse, thank you very much for highlighting the Seabees on Medal of Honor Monday. In case you missed it, that was last night. You got to go download the podcast. Very little is known about these brave men whose motto is, "We build, we fight." My dad was a Seabee in World War II. He never talked about his experience, but we were not allowed to have rice, lamb, or mutton for dinner. So I'm assuming he was deep in the South Pacific. I do have a beautiful document of him crossing the equator. Thank you for honoring our heroes every day and telling the truth always. She signs it, Bill's proud daughter, Nancy. I bet you are proud. And boy, I'll tell you, we'll get back to politics and stuff in a minute. I don't think I have ever run into, I've spoken to a lot of veterans, just because you always end up, I mean, long before I was even doing this, when you're out of town or when I would go out of town for construction or campaigning or whatever, a great place to stop and have a beer is a VFW. I like to stop and I like to gab with the old timers and just hear their stories. And they're so awesome. They're just awesome. And so I've talked to a lot of veterans from a lot of different wars. It's actually really sad. You don't see many World War II veterans there anymore because they're all dying. That's the way it goes. But anyway, talked to a lot of veterans from a lot of different wars. I don't think I have ever seen the level of constant, I don't want to say bitterness because that's not the way I want to put it, the level of anger, lasting anger at their enemy, at their opponent, in the war they fought in. I've never seen it last like I have with Pacific Theater veterans. Never. And I've talked to World War II veterans who fought the Germans, right? Fought the Nazis as bad as they can get. Talked to tons of Korean War guys. I never got an overwhelming hatred at all for North Korea or China, because we were mainly fighting the Chinese. The Vietnam guys. Now you can run into some anger and bitterness there, but lots of times that's more directed at America and the way we screwed those guys over and conducted the war. Obviously, I've talked to plenty from Iraq and Afghanistan. No real lasting hatred there. But I've talked to World War II guys late in their years. And I mean late in their years. We're talking 80s. They won't buy a Japanese car. They won't buy a Japanese TV. They won't let, like this lady said, they won't let their families eat rice. There is nothing. And because I wasn't there, right, it's hard because I didn't experience what they experienced. It's hard to really wrap your mind around what they experienced until you start hearing from them their stories and reading their books and things, and just how the Japanese were just so barbaric and they were just so different. How they would constantly, they wouldn't just torture the guys they captured, our guys. They would torture them and then leave signs on them so their buddies would find them and tell them how long he took to die. They would, the things they did to our POWs. Yeah, a lot of people know about the Bataan Death March, right? And how thousands died on this long, brutal march, and they would drive over them and squish them in trucks. They would make buddies bury each other alive. They'd take a group of five and tell four buddies, "Hey, bury this one alive." And if you didn't, they'd bury you. Like, it just horrible things like that. But then even the terrible cruelty in captivity, it was just so barbaric and cruel that those guys never got past it. They never, ever, ever got past it. They never got over it. Imagine how horrible Imagine how horrible you'd have to conduct yourself to have somebody hate your entire country for life. For life. That's how it was in the Pacific. That's how it was. Chris brought up the medic ships. Oh, man. Remember, the guys they captured, the ones they didn't murder, they wanted them for slave labor, so they'd march them off for slave labor. Only that you need slave labor in different places. So they weren't called medic ships. They were called hell ships by our guys. They would take huge quantities of our guys and throw them in these dark metal holds with, you know, no place to use the bathroom and hardly any food and water. Guys would lose their minds down there and die of thirst and everything else. And then we would start shooting the hell ships because they weren't marked. They didn't mark that they had our guys on them. And our guys would end up finding out after, hey, we got that Japanese ship, shot it with the torpedo. Yeah, there were 100 of our guys on board. Just the stories. I have told you before, and I will tell you again, I've watched a lot of documentaries because I'm 41 going on 81. That's just what I love. Like I said, the wife and kids are out of town tonight. That's what I'm doing when I get home. It's what I love. I have never seen a documentary as well done as one that's virtually impossible to find. The BBC did it. It's called Hell in the Pacific. Not the movie. I believe it's a Lee Marvin movie with the same name. There's a documentary, several-part documentary called Hell in the Pacific, and you'll see veterans there, not just American ones either, veterans from Australian veterans who were fighting there, and the Brits, and you can see these old men. It's actually gut-wrenching, the emotion that pours out of them when they talk about, oh, he bayoneted my friend right in front of me, and it's really, really bad. It's crazy, man, crazy. So we got word there was a special counsel. What we've been talking about consistently on the show is the normal person in the world of make-believe they live in don't know it. We found out there's a special counsel, Jack Smith. He's going to head the new attack on Donald Trump from the federal government. And I told you last night, his wife is a huge Joe Biden donor and produced Michelle Obama's documentary. The Associated Press is very sadly one of the more respected news organizations in the world. This is a headline from Newsbusters. Associated Press published a glowing profile of newly appointed special counsel Jack Smith under the headline, "New Special Counsel Has a Long Career of Confronting Corruption." Except AP reporter Eric Tucker completely skipped the scandal in Smith's interaction with the IRS official Lois Lerner seeking to use the IRS to crack down on the Tea Party. You see, Jack Smith is an activist communist who's already used his positions within the government to attack people on the right. That's what he does. He takes his positions of power and he goes after you. And now he's just been tasked with attacking President Trump and finishing off the destruction of President Trump. This entire thing stinks. This entire thing is really bad, and it's why I've been telling you over and over and over and over again, Trump is in trouble. And it's also why I've been on this theme all night, and I've been on this theme a lot lately. What chance does the normal person have? You already knew this stuff about Jack Smith yesterday. I guarantee you did. Before I even read you this headline, before I even told you about Jack Smith's wife being the Biden donor, you already knew the new special counsel was a total communist hack, and this was a total hatchet job. You knew all that already. You knew all that. The normal person didn't. Your neighbor didn't. Your cousin didn't. They hear there's a special counsel. They think, wow, that sounds like an official thing. And of course, it came from the attorney general. That must be super official. I mean, the attorney general, he's the top law enforcement officer. So we all know he's got to kind of be on the up and up, right? And then we have the DOJ. He's in charge of the DOJ. I mean, they're so important. They're like Elliot Ness in The Untouchables. They can only fairly interpret the law. What chance do you have to explain to that person how far gone we are? It's very, very difficult. It's extremely difficult, but that is our challenge, is it not? Waking up the normals, waking up the normies, if we want to call them that. Isn't that our struggle? I've always looked at it as part of my struggle. I know you probably do as part of yours. Waking up people who are lost. Waking up people who've never heard of Frito Bandito.
I know. I am the Frito Bandito, hey! I like Fritos corn chips, I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips, I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Oh, that's beautiful. How many people haven't heard of the Frito Bandito, Chris? How can we go on as a nation until more people have heard of the Frito Bandito? What, Chris? All right, we're going to get to more emails. Are mask mandates coming back? I swear I'm not just doing like a scare headline. It's right here. They might be coming back. Gosh, it's crazy. You know what? It's okay. Forget about all this. Whenever we're done with the show tonight, I want you to go home. And I want you to crawl in between your Giza dream sheets in your bed and just comfort yourself with the knowledge that as the world burns down around you, you still get to sleep every single night in the most comfortable sheets in the history of the world. Giza dream sheets. Mike Lindell found the world's best cotton, big surprise, and thought to himself, well, I should make sheets out of these. And he did. And now everyone knows about them. I swear the Giza Dream Sheets are as popular as the MyPillows themselves. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Specials, use the promo code Jesse, because what you're going to see there is the lowest price ever on Giza Dream Sheets, ever. You can get them as low as $29.99. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Time to Christmas shop, too. Get a couple sets of these things. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or 800-845-0544. Mask mandates, please, not again. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, boy. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Again, Fauci's out there again today, still talking about this nonsense.
So you have immunological data, and you have now clinical efficacy data. Everybody was asking the question, where's the clinical efficacy data? Now it has come out with the CDC, MMWR this morning. So we know it's safe. We know that it is effective. So my message and my final message, maybe the final message I give you from this podium, is that please, for your own safety, for that of your family, get your updated COVID-19 shot.
Headline, mask mandates should be reinstated to protect against long COVID. This is according to an HHS report. Remember how the super smart guy on the radio and handsome with a symmetrical face, Chris. What, Chris? You remember that guy on the radio who's been telling you to get out of your blue area if you can? To get out. Get out and get to a red area, because what the COVID lockdowns were, what they really were, was a big stress test. The government wanted to see exactly how much they could oppress you and get away with it. I mean, you know that smart guy that's been saying that? You know he's right, right? I mean, they even call him the Oracle. What, Chris? We're over here.
We're changing people's lives.
They even call him the Oracle for a reason. You know that they're going to do all that to you again and again and again and again and again, because these people fell in love with that much power. It's everything a tyrant could ever want. They loved having that kind of power. So just take it from me. You can stay. Well, no, I grew up here. Okay. Enjoy your mask. I won't be wearing one down here in Texas. Bad mustache seer. Hold on. What's wrong with the mustache? That was a good... Now, you can be anti-mustache. I get that. Anti-mustache is fine. But don't say that was a bad mustache. I personally was super impressed with myself. I thought it was thick and full. I thought it looked like Tom Selleck. I thought I was basically... What do you mean you're surprised it's gone already, Chris? Chris, I've been taking chalk now for about 7 months, Chris. How long do you think it was going to take me to grow in a full beard? Of course it only took me 7-8 days. Do you have any idea what my testosterone levels are at this point in time after 7 months of taking the natural herbal supplements of Chalk? I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every day. Every day. Got up this morning, hung out with the kids, made breakfast, lifted weights, right downstairs, male vitality stack from Chalk. Female vitality stack for you too, ladies. Female vitality stack from you. But don't worry, ladies. You won't grow a beard unless you're Italian. But they're selling subscriptions for Black Friday at 35% off right now. Cancel anytime. I need to stress this. I'm not just doing a thing for radio. If it doesn't work the way I tell you it's going to, cancel it. I don't care. It's no hassle. 90 days. Give it 90 days, 20% increase in your testosterone levels. You can't imagine how much better you will feel. Go to chok.com, promo code Jesse, all right? Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Get the subscription because they're 35% off. Bad mustache seer. While Ivanka was publicly withdrawn from politics, unfortunately, Jared was at the Tuesday night rally, and there is nothing that would have us believe he is stepping back. He's talking about Trump's rally. This sucks. Keep on telling the truth. I have personally turned you on to at least 8 patriots who now listen regularly. My way of making mac and cheese is way better than yours. Mark from Parker, Colorado. I did not know Jared was in attendance at the Trump rally. That's going to be a problem. It's a big problem. Because what I know you like Trump's America First agenda. I know I certainly do. And I know that there are frustrations you had the first time where it looked like he kind of lost his mind and wasn't doing it. Remember when he signed the executive order to ban bump stocks? I mean, Trump was worse on guns than Barack Obama was. It was crazy. And he would do these things that were opposite of the things you wanted and things I wanted every now and then. And you know every single one of those, it was Jared Kushner whispering in his ear about every single one of those things. And I have asked because, you know, I'm on team me. I'm not on team Trump. I'm not on team DeSantis. I have not decided who I'm voting for in the primary. I need to hear a lot more from all of them. I need to hear things from DeSantis. I don't know Ron DeSantis' foreign policy. Yeah, I'm very impressed with Ron DeSantis. A lot of what I've seen. What's his foreign policy? Do you even know? I don't know. I need to hear what's going to be different about Trump's personnel decisions. And I need to know, is Jared Kushner, is he going back to that White House to torpedo the agenda I'm voting for? Because I didn't vote for Jared Kushner's New York Democrat agenda. I voted for Trump twice. I never once voted for Jared Kushner's New York Democrat agenda, ever. I voted for Trump's America First agenda. And I need to know who I'm voting for this next time. Am I going to get America First, or am I going to get more Jared Kushner? We can't say this or we'll look too mean to the Washington Post. I need to know. Again, this is why I'm not on anyone's team yet. I have many, many, many questions, and I've not received an answer to these questions yet. And I won't until the primary, right? We have to wait. That's why I have said over and over and over and over and over again, that knockdown, drag-out primary that's ugly with the name-calling and mudslinging that you don't want to see, I need to see it. I need to know things. And how am I going to get answers to these questions? I just asked about Heavy D's foreign policy and Jared Kushner. Are you going to get a chance to sit down with Trump? Am I? Actually, I probably could, but I'm not going to take it. I don't have candidates on, so I'm not going to do that. No, I want to see these candidates get up on stage and challenge each other. I want Donald Trump to get up on stage and look at Heavy D and say, I was amazing at foreign policy. No one even knows what you stand for in foreign policy. What do you stand for? And I want to hear what Heavy D has to say to that. And I want to hear Ron DeSantis get up on stage and look at Trump and say, you had horrendous personnel decisions, none worse than Jared Kushner, who destroyed your base, just totally took a dump all over your base. Is Jared Kushner going back to your White House? I want to see the candidates ask questions of each other that you and I can't ask. That's the beauty of being on Team Me. All right. Chef Andrew Gruhl is going to join us next. A rare guest. He's going to help us improve Thanksgiving. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And you know what? Every now and then we do have a guest on the show when we need to go to the experts. And I realize it's Thanksgiving this week. I know. And maybe you're a dude or lady and you're doing some prep for Thanksgiving. Maybe you're a little nervous. Maybe you're not sure if you're going to make it right. You want to impress somebody. Why not bring in an expert to help us out with the old Thanksgiving menu a little bit? Because this dude's food is stupid good. Joining me now, chef, family man, restaurant owner, judge on the Food Network, Chef Andrew Gruhl. Chef, okay, first and foremost, as is well known, I'm not a turkey man, but I realize most of the country is, and people will be making turkeys this Thanksgiving. Do you have any helpful tips that might help somebody make a better bird than the dried out piece of filth they normally make?
Well, first I'll say this, and I don't want to rub your ego. I'm sure people have been doing that all day, but I agree with you. And once again, your brilliance is showing turkey is trash. However, that does not mean that we still can't turn it into something that's crave-worthy and at least worthy of, you know, kind of, you know, lukewarm friends, neighbors, family, et cetera. And then also, let's be honest, turkey sandwiches, those are the exception. So the day after Thanksgiving or the night of, or maybe just for Thanksgiving, make yourself a big fat Dagwood. But what I'll say here is two things, right? There's really only two things you need to do with your bird, and you've got to do these two things. Everybody every year, you know, oh, I like to tuck ham under the skin, and I like to deep fry my turkey, and I give my turkey a shiatsu massage. None of that stuff works. The only thing you need with turkey, like most meat, is moisture. The only way you're going to get moisture in your bird is by brining it. Right. So you do an overnight brine. You don't need a lot of space. You can do it in a garbage bag in your sink with ice and salt and a brine recipe, which I'll reveal here. That's number one. And then number two, if you do want to get daring, spatchcock your turkey. And I repeat, spatchcock your turkey. I wanted to say that a couple times just because I wanted to say spatchcock. But what that means is you're actually cutting the backbone out of the turkey and you're flattening it. And then you've just got like a big butterfly turkey that you cook in one piece, and it's going to cook it more evenly because you don't have this round monstrosity with a air cavity in the center and convection air going all over the place. You're directly cooking it.
Okay, I need to actually go back to something you said previously, because yes, turkey's inferior, but I realize the turkey sandwiches make it worthwhile for people to make because you eat on it for a week, and you mentioned a Dagwood. Now, just so everyone knows, again, this is Chef Andrew Gruhl. I've never seen anybody make burgers and sandwiches that look as delicious as the stuff he puts on social media. I need to know, Chef, you're looking at a bunch of leftover turkey, and you're making a turkey sandwich. People are going to listen to this over and over again on the podcast. Walk them through making a heavenly turkey sandwich.
Well, layers of meat, right, but not on top of each other. So maybe do like three tiers, three stories of meat, and then insert your ingredients or pepper them in between the layers of meat. When it comes to turkey, I don't always do that with like pastrami or more moist meats, but that's the problem is sometimes you get a big fat turkey sandwich and it can just have that big dry bite in the center, and then you just end up drinking mayonnaise from the bottle to try and moisten your mouth. But if you layer your turkey meat with things like lettuce, tomato stuffing, cranberry sauce mixed with mayonnaise and a little garlic, so you got like a cranberry dressing right there. I actually put mashed potatoes right on my sandwich. I'll hit it with my favorite condiments to make the mashed potatoes almost a dressing or condiment-like base. So you can do all of the principles, you can create all the principles of a good sandwich by using not just the turkey as the leftover, but all those other scraps that end up in Tupperware throughout your fridge for the next year.
Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, now I have to ask, I'm sure people are wanting to know, what in the world does the gruel family spread look like on Thanksgiving? I've got to know this.
Well, as I mentioned, the brining of the bird is key, right? So we always do have that turkey. And you'll be shocked by this. I normally, there's so much kind of hyperbole behind a lot of these cooking tips, and these chefs are like, oh, you do it this way, you do it that way, and it just ends up being the same. When you brine a bird, it is scientifically proven to give you the greatest, juiciest bird possible. And the brine recipe for a bird, write this down for everybody listening, 1 gallon of water, 1 beer, right, 12-ounce beer, whatever beer you want, whatever you got laying around, 1 cup of salt, 1 cup of sugar, and then any herbs or flavorings that you want in there. So obviously you're going to need to do probably 3x on that for the bird to be fully submerged. And then you can just use ice in place of the water or part of the water as well, so that because you're going to need to cook that brine and then add the ice to it, put it right into a garbage bag, either in refrigerator or just put more ice on top of it and leave it in your fridge. 12 to 24 hour brine, pull it out of the bag, get it incredibly dry. From there, I'm actually going to spatchcock the bird, and then I'm going to do a reverse sear, which you may have seen me post a lot about. And that's where I start my meat in a low temperature oven, right? And this works for any roast, lamb, beef, pork, turkey, tofurkey. Starting in a low temperature oven, then finish it at a really high temperature, ideally like a grill, right? I'm actually going to start my bird in a 250 degree oven. I'm going to slow cook it. And what that does is that there's an enzyme that exists in the protein that tenderizes the meat between, like, it's like between 90 and 110 degrees. When you bring it up past that 110 degrees quickly, you lose the natural tenderizing effects of that enzyme. And then you just start to dry your bird out. If you do that long and slow, you're really breaking it down. You're not drying your bird out. And then at the last second, you throw it hard and hot on a grill, maybe rub some spices on there, or just blast your oven up to about 500 degrees to get that nice crisp skin. And then any other seasoning you want to put on your bird. From there, we're going to break it all down, and we'll do tacos and taquitos and burritos, sandwiches. We're in SoCal here, so, you know, I try and hang with the cool kids.
Oh, my gosh. You actually made turkey sound delicious. Again, we're speaking with Chef Andrew Gruel. All right, Chef, dessert. Dessert is clearly one of the stars of the show for Thanksgiving. Is it regular old pumpkin pie in the Gruel household? Does the old lady handle it? How does this work?
Yeah, so Lauren is a pastry chef by trade, baking and pastry. So she always handles the desserts. But I will say this. You know, we're not a pie family. I don't like pie. I think that it's always done poorly. I think that everybody's got their pie crust recipe, and it always messes up because it's not easy to do. So I actually like to deconstruct pies. And for us, for desserts, I mean, we're talking, we'll take pie ingredients, you know, your marinated and roasted apples and sugar and all that great kind of Thanksgiving type ingredients. And then we just pack them right into cups or bowls, throw some ice cream on there, and some, you know, like I'll pour an espresso and some dark chocolate on top of vanilla ice cream and roasted candied apples. And you got yourself an apple espresso chocolate sundae. That's all you need. You don't need the crust in there.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. All right, Chef, when's this next restaurant opening? Aren't you supposed to come to Houston? I need some delicious food.
I know, but since we last talked, I actually sold Slapfish. So now I'm coming to Houston with my burger concept, my pizza concept, and most likely my new seafood concept, which is a full-service seafood concept with a full bar. So that's the next move. But in terms of the burger concept, I mean, we get the Jesse Kelly burger on the menu. give me that licensing agreement, and there's the checks just come in the mail every month for you.
You just send me a text whenever you're ready. I can't believe you have no idea how much money you're going to make on pizza, because pizza sucks in this town. It's a great food town, but the pizza is non-existent here, and I've seen your pizzas, so bring them on, Dev. Chef Andrew Gruel, text me when you hit town, brother. We'll go break bread.
Thank you so much.
He made turkey sound good. You know, I've never done any of the brine stuff, but you sound like such an advanced chef when you say brine. I think I'm going to start saying I brine things, even when I don't. What, Chris? you can sound brilliant when you're willing to lie. You know, I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to have, remember, I'm going to have the Kraft Mac and some weenies, but I've got to brine it first for a couple hours. We've got to put it in a brine. All right. We're going to get to some more emails here, but I wanted to let you know that it's the season of theft, all right? The holiday season now, it is officially the season where robberies, assaults, they ramp up. That's very sad because it's the season of love and giving, but that is, however, the truth. Protect yourself, even during the holidays, even when you're out, you know, post-Thanksgiving shopping and you're hitting up Black Friday deals. Man, protect yourself. When you're down at the Christmas market picking up a tree, protect yourself at all times. Buy a hero gun and carry it with you. Carry it with you. Carry it with you, please. It's a non-lethal gun. Has a laser sight. Point and squeeze. Anyone can use it. Go to hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com. Code Jesse. All right? State restrictions may apply.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
She's my best friend's girl. She's my best
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse. Wednesday, get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Supreme Court allows the release of Trump's tax records to House Democrats. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it's kind of boring, but I just want to say this really quickly. We know the Democrats are immediately, this is the problem with our corrupted system. Democrats are immediately going to take in those tax returns, and people will say, well, yeah, they have to keep them private. They're going to do the same thing the FBI does all the time. They'll call their best friend at the New York Times and immediately leak everything to the New York Times. This is the problem with a corrupted system that has chosen someone to attack over and over and over and over again. They just do the worst freaking things in the world, the most dishonest things in the world. And this is why I warn so loudly about a corrupted administrative state, because they can come get you for anything and then leak things and then plant things. And if we don't get this thing under control, we are in trouble. But and it doesn't seem like they're worried about it. I've played this for you before, but I swear I woke up this morning again thinking about this. Chuck Grassley, he's a senator from Iowa. Chuck Grassley is not only a United States senator, and I want to make sure you understand this. Senator is a big deal. There's only 100 of them. If a senator, here's a little inside baseball for you. If a senator walks into a Washington, D.C. restaurant, no matter what it is, high-end steakhouse, no matter what, and they're full, the senator will be given a table no matter what. You realize that? Oh, I don't have a reservation. I'm Senator Grassley. Oh, hang on a second, Senator. We will get you set up right over here. That's how powerful senators are. He's not only a senator. He is the GOP's top man on the Senate Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee might be the most powerful committee in all of Washington, and it's the committee responsible for overseeing things like the FBI. Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, sat in front of Chuck Grassley and told him, hey, wrap it up. I got to go on vacation. Sorry.
Senator, I had a flight that I'm supposed to be hightailing it to out of here, and I had understood that we were going to be done at 1:30, so that's how we ended up where we are.
If it's your business trip, you got your own plane. Can it wait a while?
Sorry, to be honest, I've tried to make my break as fast as I could to get right back out of here.
Yeah, so we could you took resume. More than 5 minutes.
He's sitting there laughing in front of the top GOP man. And the Senate Judiciary Committee told him with his own private plane, he could have postponed it a week if he wanted, an hour, whatever. And they knew that. Sorry, Senator. I told you ahead of time I got to go. We done here? Sorry. Took a little too long on my break. Had to go number two. Not my fault. Yeah. Hi, Jesse. Thursday, you spoke about the FBI looking at our Facebook pages, and you're 100% right. I previously wrote to you about how my fiancé got busted walking into the Capitol on January 6th. I forgot to mention that I got an email from Facebook saying the authorities reached out to them for my profile data, and they shared it with them. I wrote them back asking what they shared, and they replied with an FBI case number, but didn't say what they shared. I'm assuming all my data is now being used to build a case against me. Please continue to warn your listeners about this. Thanks, as always, for fighting the commies. Don't say your name. I'm not going to say your name. Please hear me when I tell you, whatever form of electronic survey or electronic communication you use, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, text messaging, oh, I'm on Signal. You think they don't have it? They have all of it. You already live in the surveillance state. Don't, one, do something illegal, and two, if you do, don't talk about it. Oh, gosh. Sorry, I get myself fired up. You know what makes me feel better when I get myself fired up? Practicing with my weapon. Every single time I get myself worked up, I either work out or I buy something to prepare or I practice with my weapon. Mantis X allows you to practice in the comfort of your home. The comfort of your home. You dry fire practice and they're giving you feedback. They're putting you through drills. Mantis X will make you better. And I'll tell you something else. You'll be shocked at how much better you get and how fast. Go to MantisX.com. This is what the Green Berets use. They use Mantis X. The Marines, Paris Island. You showed up today. Mantis X. It's what the pros use. MantisX.com. Go get one. Get some more of these. To the Frito Bandito. I was thinking of buying an AR-15 just because my elected officials don't want me to. I love that. My question is the AR-15 a practical weapon for home defense? I'm asking strictly out of ignorance. I'm not much of a hunter, but you never know what the future will bring. And could you please remind your listeners what gun control is really about? Listen, thank you. Okay, one. The AR-15, it's probably... I don't want to say the best weapon for home defense because that's really a subjective, it's an opinion. It's on everyone's top five. The AR-15 is an incredible home defense weapon. I actually like my 300 Blackout for that purpose a little bit better, but they're both wonderful. Yes, yes, yes. One thing a lot of people don't consider when they're talking about home defense weapon and oh, I got a shotgun or No, I got a 44 Magnum, and look, all those things are fine. I'm not dogging on those. If that's what you have, that's what you have. That's fine, but keep something in mind. Your home, because you're in it and it seems so solid, it almost seems like it's made of concrete, right? So it's just made of bricks. You ever tripped and fallen into your drywall? You ever had one of your kids do that? Maybe a dog? You're surrounded not by bricks, not by concrete. Your walls are made of powder that has been packed into something, and now that's a wall. What I'm telling you is, especially if you have loved ones in your home, husband, wife, kids, dog, whatever you've got in there, maybe mom moved in, I don't know, whatever you've got in there, if you have a weapon that over-penetrates, you can end up, yeah, you kill a bad guy and maybe someone you care about a lot. These things have happened time and time and time and time again. Make sure you consider over-penetration. Ah, shot him in the chest with the 44 Magnum from 10 feet away. Do you have any idea how fast that round will be moving still once it leaves his back? No, don't get me wrong. He'll be good and dead. Good for you. That round is still moving quickly. And it's going to run into powder when it hits your wall. And then more powder when it hits another drywall. Is your son sleeping back there? Your daughter? Like, I'm not the world's expert, all right? I know a little bit about a little bit. But I do know that. Always consider over-penetration. Always consider it. When I buy my weapons, my home defense weapons, I consider it. When I buy my home defense ammunition, I consider it. I have a wife, dog, two kids in the house. I can't just blast, all right? All right, now, gun control, what is it really about? Hang on.
Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.